Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 144.
144. Please, no more. That's my attitude to Christmas leftovers right now, Pierre. I am so full. I'm currently actually nibbling on something. I won't do this too much because of your misophonia, but can you tell what I'm eating from this sound?
Is it like a fist-sized piece of cheese?
No, I was hoping you'd hear like the tight ripping of dried fibers.
Oh, well, if there are fibers involved, Phil, and it's dry, I'm guessing turkey.
Think more culturally relevant to you specifically.
Oh, hold on. You, my friend, are chewing on some beef chili biltong bites.
Yes, I am. Beef chili bites, bought from Bath in Somerset, the home of biltong. there's a little South African stand in a market in town, a little festive market. And I bought me some chili bites on your recommendation.
Yep.
For those of you who haven't had biltong before, think of a strip of if a strip of beef had sex with a rope, they would their union would make biltong.
Yes, yeah. And their cousin is like some cumin seeds and some vinegar, maybe.
It's very tasty. I like it a lot. I'm slowly working my way through the bag of the Christmas season.
There's nothing more Christmassy, at least in my house, than having a sort of small polythene sack of beef that you slowly eat over a period of many days.
Yes. Do you have any South African touches to your family Christmas lunch?
I would say the sheer amount of meat is probably the most South African touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The level of meat is heavy.
You go for a multi-meat Christmas dinner?
Yes, we're multi-meatual. We speak many meats. We've got a big old turkey that we've marinated.
Oh, lovely.
We put it in we stuck it in a big bath and put it in a shed.
Wow, it's quite hard to find a container that'll take a whole turkey.
Oh yeah, man, this container is like you know, this massive fucking home storage things that people fill with like Lego and things.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like something Walter White would dissolve a body in.
Yeah. Whereas if you imagine Walter White tipping the body of a cartel member into a big tub, but the tub is full of cloves and cinnamon and orange peel, and he's going, "This will be great in a few days." I'm the one who brines, etc.
That's great.
Brining Jesse with a B. Anyway, those are very out of date references.
Me and my sisters just finished. We watched the whole series just over the Christmas break of a show called Your Honor with Bryan Cranston.
Oh right,
and
yeah.
They're essentially trying to redo Breaking Bad. He's a judge in New Orleans, and his son accidentally hits and kills a kid, a 17-year-old boy. With his car, and he runs. It's a hit and run. And Bryan Cranston says, "Look, we have to do the right thing." And he takes his son to the police station. But as he's there, he sees a crying, bereaved mother and father, and realizes the father of the boy he killed is New Orleans's most vicious gangster, crime lord.
Oh!
And so then Bryan Cranston, who plays a very respected judge, has to decide how far is he willing to go for justice, and how far is he willing to go for his son? It's quite good stuff. It's quite good stuff. It is the whole way through. It does feel like the producers are going, please think this is Breaking Bad. And it never gets quite as good as Breaking Bad, but it's good fun.
So it is. It is actually worth doing then. It's not just like a terrible knockoff.
It's not a terrible knockoff. As the series progresses there, it's one of these shows that starts a few storylines that it kind of forgets about and gives up on, which isn't great.
Right.
Yeah. There's a few threads you go, oh, what's going to happen there? And literally nothing happens. And you go, oh, okay.
It is funny where some incredibly high-budget show has like 7 episodes where people will be like, but what about this ring, and then they just go, oh, that's my ring, oh, you found it, and then that's it. They've just dumped it for some reason. I always want to know what the hell happened in the writer's room.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking, like how the yeah, how much did they plan at the beginning, and how much were they just making up along the way?
Yeah.
To give you an idea of how much the writers were working sort of on the fly, during filming, COVID happened, and all the characters then start wearing masks, and like COVID becomes a reason he can't have lots of people in the courtroom. So it feels like they were kind of going with the flow.
Right. So it was almost like Curb Your Enthusiasm, but like crime thriller edition, where they were just like, here's what needs to happen in the scene. You just say whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also Bryan Cranston plays a sort of Larry David-esque judge. Was it a stop and kill? Or was it just a stop and chat? Was it a stop and kill? Were you dealing? Are you dealing drugs? Was it a gift? Was I supposed to pay for it? You hand it over to me like this? I don't know. You want money?
Yeah. That would be good. I like this TV show idea. Well, you say it's buying with intent. Intent to what? I mean... intend to distribute. I mean, if I give it to my friend, am I distributing? Yeah, this is. I like this show a lot.
One guy is distributing. That's just giving. That's two just guys, giving. Three guys, three guys is distributing.
Yeah. How many guys would you say is distributing? Because for me, it's got to be. It's more than two. Oh, it's got to be more than two. Oh, yeah.
He counts in that sort of backwards way that Larry David always does on his hand. His with the palm of his hand facing towards him. He was always kind of like that.
I think this is a great show idea. Judge Larry David. Judge Larry.
If that show ends up degree, getting... The second degree, how many degrees are we talking here? Which degree? How many degrees do you need?
Yeah. What do you mean he didn't mean it? I mean, 1.5?
it's another 1.5 degrees.
1.5 degrees. You know, he wanted to do it, but he pulled back at the end there. this podcast is an ideas factory, Phil, and we don't make enough.
It really is. It really is. It's someone's gonna one of these days. Steven Spielberg is going to start listening to Pod, and all of a sudden, Pierre, he's gonna start having some great original ideas.
Oh,
and start making some pretty great movies about a mechanized teen who wanks as to gain his power.
I think someone's going to be coincidentally directing the origin story movie about a man who takes a very long time to poo. of course, it's a very long ago reference, really. He hasn't come up for a while. Listeners, Slow Poo, the man who we know who takes a long, long time to poo for health reasons, he claims. Mm-hmm. A long time, listeners. We're talking every single time, minimum 45 minutes.
Minimum, at least.
Late. He's late because of the pooping. And our thoughts are with him at this festive time.
That was very Bill Cosby. He's late because of the pooping.
Because of the pooping. He's late because of the poops. And the... God, what a classic impression for everyone to lose.
I know, yeah. It's such a shame when someone with a very distinctive voice, a very impressionable voice, it turns out to be an absolute wrong'un.
Thank God, Phil, that Prince Andrew has a completely bog standard voice.
And please, please pray to God that nothing ever comes out about Christopher Walken.
People will lose their houses, some impressionists. The last thing we want, Phil, is some kind of Epstein-style scandal involving Christopher Walken, Robert De Niro, and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They'll just be impressionists out on the streets with cardboard signs saying, "We'll do impression of you for food."
They'll be dressed in like Great Depression era suits though, with really high trousers and trilbies and stuff.
Can I do you a turn? I'll do a turn for you.
Well, I came all the way out to California just to see if there were any work to be had here as Christopher Walken, but turns out you heard about that too. So Phil, yes, our thoughts are with Slow Poo during this festive period because, you know, we're all packed with more food than any human needs.
Yeah, I'm slowly easing myself off that hill.
Yes.
Now. Yeah.
I remember, Phil, something you said. I think it was just in conversation, but it was a very profound thing because I identified with it 100%. And we were discussing, like, overeating or this or that. And you said, it was something along these lines. I don't know if you used the word addict. You said, "I'm not an addict." Or you said, "I'm not X," whatever it was.
Yeah, it was addict, yeah.
Yeah, you said, "I'm not an addict, I'm a glutton."
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought, oh my God, that's exact. It was like you'd unlocked something for me. I was like, that's right, that's me.
Yeah, I'm an addict, not a glutton, absolutely. I mean, I've picked up habits, but I can drop them. I can stop, I can go like, I've had too much of this, I'm going to cut it out, cold turkey, and then I move on. But if something is in front of me, if a whole turkey is in front of me, it's very hard for me to stop.
Yeah, until the cold turkey is gone.
The literal cold turkey is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that is, yeah, that is a difference
I've had to explain to, like, well, to lots of people, but, like, to you know, to my partner, to my parents, friends, where they go, "Would you like, you know, more cheese or something?" And I always try and say to them, it's not about if I would like it.
It's, do you have it? And am I here?
Yeah, the answer is yes, but what I would say to you is that I shouldn't have it, so please don't bring it. And they're like, "Oh, good time for some cheese? Oh, maybe I think that's a yes." And it's like, it's not. Please help me, help myself.
Yeah, addict, not a yeah. I'm a glutton, not an addict. Yeah, yeah.
What's been your main gluttony? Has it been festive meats? Also, I should say, like, it's not just a giant brine turkey, Phil. Big old fucking ham, pigs in blankets, weird little sausage things, separate even to the pigs in blankets. A lot of flesh. Flesh, meaty yeah, day.
It's a fleshy time. It's the most fleshiest time of the year. With those turkey legs glowing and hams in your bowling and drinking some beer. I've been okay on the food side of things, although I have been having trifle for breakfast. That's not a good step, actually. That's not good. Breakfast was the most important meal of the day, not the meal of the day with most custard in it.
Yeah.
I've been more of a glutton with the booze, maybe.
Well, you're a booze boy. You're a wine boy.
I'm a booze boy. I opened some very nice bottles for the day itself, and I brought more. I must be the only person in the UK who brought more bottles than his family can possibly drink or are willing to drink. I'm going to be the only person taking bottles back home at the end of this, because, like, Dad will literally have one sip. I'm not saying that for effect, Pierre. He will have one sip and of a wine, and he's more than done. He won't touch anymore.
So he'll have
my
a sip.
My younger sister will only have, like, two sips, maybe. And then the rest is just for me and Mum, just and that. And my other sister just glug 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 glug.
Oh, spirit, please, please, I have already been visited by two of your brethren, past and present they have shown me, but please, please tell me that this grave is not mine, because it's unbelievably tacky. I mean, I know I'm a miser and I'm alone, but it doesn't need to be made of gold, does it? And my name is misspelled, and they've got one of those laser carvers, and they've kind of done a portrait of my face in a Perspex cube, and that's mounted in the middle of the grave, and there's a lot of marble, and I don't know. It's not really fair to show me this, because I didn't pick it, I was dead, so you should show me who picked it, and then I won't let them do that. I don't see how this is relevant to... I knew no one would come to the funeral. I'm a miser. I know I'm not... I'm self-aware. I'm not an idiot. I didn't think people would go... Thank God he didn't give me any money. But then are you saying that money is the solution? Hello? Should I... See, this is the problem, is that the other two were very clear about what I... to take. They took me... They traveled through time and they pointed and they said... Look at that. Maybe think about this. But you're very silent and you just seem to be pointing ominously at it. At my own grave. I knew I would die. The grave part is not... It's not very frightening. I'd made my peace with it, to be honest with you. So, I don't... What do I do? I give people more money. But then that seems shallow. So, learn their names, sure. But I'm guessing now. So if I get it wrong again and I have to see you next year, I need you to know that some of this is on you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So your dad has a sip and he goes... Oh, sorry if anyone can hear weird creaking. I'm in a very creaky room full of like old radiators and stuff, so apologies.
Pierre is being haunted by the Three Ghosts of Christmas.
Yeah.
A bit late.
They won't leave.
They're getting in early for next Christmas.
They won't leave. Phil, they keep taking me to a grave, which clearly isn't mine because I'm alive. They've just put my name on it and they're pointing and yelling and they won't leave. And they keep saying, what about Christmas? And I say, that was yesterday, mate. Get over it. And they say I should pay my employee, Mr. Cratchit, more. And I show them the books and I say, find the spare money. And they won't look.
It's all very not nice and well to say people should be paid more. But there's a line here that, you know, we need to stay in the black. So you find it. Ghost of Christmas yet to come. You find it.
I said, hey. Guy, big red-faced bearded man who's covered in sort of holly and ivy and, you know, he keeps singing and laughing. Calm down for a second and take a look at these national insurance payments on my payroll.
Oh, a hippie like the Ghost of Christmas Present isn't going to help you out.
You can't
that fucking
can't,
green
can't
man,
pay.
That fucking dirty hippie that fucking... He looks like he grew up in Glastonbury and now runs his mum's crystal shop. He's not going to know the first thing about accounting.
No, you say, I can't pay Cratchit in Christmas cheer, you fucking hippie. And he just gets angry and brings in the death guy again. And he doesn't even say anything. He just points at the grave. And I go, I've seen it. I know.
Is a Ghost of Christmas Future, is he, do you think he's dumb? He's not deaf, right? He can't
speak.
No, oh, death.
Yeah, yes.
All right. Yeah, yeah, he's not deaf.
That's why Scrooge feels bad, because he goes, I'm going to go deaf? Well, this changes everything. You there, boy, what day is this? Why, sir, it's Christmas Day. What? Huh? Christmas Day! What? No, he's death. He's a hooded, shrouded, you know, he's like the Grim Reaper, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Do you think the Grim Reaper came before the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come? Or was Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come based on the Grim Reaper? Because there's some copyright infringement going on one way or the other.
Yeah, he had to say, I'm the grimy creeper or something.
I'm the dark collector.
And he hasn't got a scythe. He's got like a big pitchfork, and they're like, "Isn't it supposed to be a scythe?" And he's like, "Nope, no, no, no." If there's one guy you don't want to annoy,
that's fun. What's a costume shop name for a costume of the Grim Reaper?
Yeah. End of life harvest man.
Yes, I like end of life harvest man. That's pretty good.
agricultural consequences.
I've only just reaping and sowing. He's got, that's why he's got a scythe. He's reaping what people have sowed.
Well, he's reaping them. He's harvesting the crop of souls.
Lovely stuff. Lovely imagery.
Yes, yes. And to answer your question sincerely, there is some artwork of sort of hooded skeletons with scythes in medieval artwork.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wonder where the hooded thing comes from. I can understand skeletons. Skeletons being the mascots of death.
Yeah.
But what's with the hoods? Where's the hoods come from?
People
monks,
fear hoodies,
priests.
Phil.
Yeah, for as long as records have been around, people have been scared of hoodies. People
That's
in hoods.
Right. It makes death look more street, more like urban wear.
Yeah, it was Charles Dickens who really started the first hug a hoodie initiative with yeah. A Christmas Carol.
Yes, yes, he invented the idea of trying to. Being afraid of hoodies, but also trying to help them out by going along with their moralizing. I'm trying to think of now costume names for what would Scrooge be? Christmas Miser, or like
Christmas Miser is very good.
Christmas Miser,
Agent Scrimper.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Christmas Miser, I think, is about as perfect as it can be. Christmas Miser.
Christmas Miser.
And Bob Cratchit?
Oh, Bob.
Winter Employee.
Winter Employee is perfect. Given that all his character traits in the story seem to be that he's A, cold, and B, an employee. He's always rubbing his hands, going, oh, the bitter office. Yes, that's perfect. Winter Employee. Overworked Victorian accounting man, or something.
Yeah.
But it's perfect. Winter Employee is perfect. That's. Oh, man. It's something, yeah, it's a good way of parodying stuff. It gets to the essence of things. So you've been
a booze boy. The knockoff costume is a great exercise in distilling the essence of a character.
Yes.
That's something in like a writer's room. You should be like, who is this guy? What does he want? What are his motives? What is his knockoff costume? What is it called?
What do we know him as here in the Smithies Halloween shop or Spirit Halloween or whatever it's called in America? Hello,
aggrieved mobster. Done.
Done. done.
Yeah.
Conflicted judge.
Yeah.
The what would yours be over Christmas? Festive wine, son.
Yeah. A sleepy, self-employed man, for the most part, to be honest. That's the main feeling is.
Sleepy's driver.
Sleepy's driver.
I think I have one of her albums, Sleepy's Driver. I think I remember buying the vinyl single for 10p of Sleepy's Driver's Agricultural Consequences, and it was a brilliant record.
Yeah, very big on the Bible Belt.
Yes, because it was a fusion of jazz with, you know, like washboards and with those big jugs with X's on that go
ho 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 ho.
Yeah, I would be Regretful Meat Man. or Sleepy Fart Diner.
That sounds like a disgusting restaurant in America, a Sleepy Fart Diner. The only diner with no coffee. You're not allowed coffee in there. It's a Sleepy Fart Diner.
Yes, yeah. You're not allowed coffee, and every meal comes with refried beans.
The sort of has seen it all, but still ultimately charming old waitress will come over,
yeah,
and say, "You want a coffee there, sweetheart?" And if you say yes, she goes, "Get out!" You have to leave.
Yeah.
This is a sleepy fart diner.
Didn't you read the sign? She'll come over, and she'll go. She'll, as she approaches the table, she'll go like that.
That's part of the American legend that I've never fully characterized correctly. I feel the diner, the American diner, it is both in America, because when it crops up in American TV, when a character ends up at a diner, it's usually when they're at the lowest ebb, right? Or
yeah,
it's in the middle of the night, they've got nowhere to go, or they're meeting someone a bit shady, or they...
Unless they're a cop, and then it's where they go when they're tired to be sympathized with by the old lady.
Yes, right. Yeah. Or, but then if it's a wealthy family, they're like, oh, a diner. But to me, it's like, that looks like the most amazing place. I would go there even when my life wasn't falling apart and I had to hold my head in my hands in a booth.
I can't imagine. You know something that American fiction about diners never addresses is the toilets.
Like what state they're in? Are they clean or not?
Well, yeah, because like follow my logic on this. There's a it's a transitory place, right? So no, it's not like a restaurant where people will be embarrassed, like the diner.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Most of the customers are like truckers who'd spend all day sitting down and probably like. And like the only things that diners are well known for is incredibly like enormous heavy meals and infinite coffee.
Oh, it's more of a poo factory than a restaurant. Yeah, for sure.
The toilets must be more like a fucking army firing range.
What do you mean? Just the noises coming out of it?
Yeah, it's just like the amount the work that gets. Done. The working out that facility gets must just be astonishing.
What was it in the words of one of our correspondents? That porcelain must be punished.
Oh, it was the bowl is not there to be somethinged but dominated.
Not to be respected but dominated. Absolutely. Respected, and they must get dominated to hell.
Yes.
In American diner.
Yes, it must be insane, and the only reason anyone ever goes into the loser in the diners is so that they, for narrative reasons, they can avoid an ensuing shootout. It must be fucking weird for Americans that we have opinions on and know about all this stuff, because like they don't Well, some of them will do because they've watched like Shaun of the Dead and a couple of Guy Ritchie films. But by and large, they don't really have any picture of what like a pub really is.
Yeah, I guess I have some idea. But then, of course, like to Americans, their world is so universal. I think to most, we wouldn't be surprised if you knew something about. I think, or more often than surprised if you don't know something about American life. Like you've never been to Chick-fil-A. I feel like they're more like that. Maybe not in like New York or something.
I think they think their stuff is universal, but once they find out it's not, I know that some Americans I've talked to have been almost a bit disappointed because they'll be like, oh my God, what's this thing happening? And you'll go, oh, it's this special thing that we have, and it's like this. And they'll go, oh, well, in America, we have this thing called prom. And it's like, yeah, no, we know. Like, they yeah. never get to explain their culture to an outsider in a kind of like fun That's way, true. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're always just like, so there's this thing called prom. Is like, yeah, we know. Right. Well, so the bleachers are in it. And you go, no, we know. We know. Yeah, we know. We know. We know. We know this better than we know our own faces in the mirror. It's in everything.
I guess the one surprise or shock that remained for me before I sort of went to America was just how much people are on drugs all the time. And I mean, like, not yes. illegal drugs. Prescription medication for people who are really fine, absolutely fine, but it's the most normal thing in the world to have a prescription for Zenbolmethane or Tramies. I need to take a Tramie before I go out to the zoo. It cuts the edge off. I need a Tramie. And oh God, do you have a mental illness? Nah, I just take Tramies. Yeah, it's just something they. Do is like having a favorite snack.
It's advertised on TV like it's vitamins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Significant mood altering drugs are marketed like they're biscuits in America. That's the main culture shock that I feel American TV doesn't prepare you so much for.
Yeah, and they advertise sort of like the logic of it is kind of backwards because. I mean, I'm not against prescription drugs by any means, but the logic of it is a bit like, hey, you know when you're driving around town and you go to Walmart and you've got your gun and everyone else has guns and you feel a sense of unease? Well, you should take a pill because that's not normal. It's a fine day.
Just another normal day in America buying perfectly legal military-grade firearms and mood-altering over-the-counter drugs from the same shopping complex.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, my kid has anxiety. I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, he goes to school, he plays sports, he constantly does drills for what happens when people get executed in front of him.
For some reason, at his place of learning, yeah.
At his place of learning, where he's supposed to feel safest outside of the home. And for some reason, he's all tense. And of course, there were those race riots. Anyway, I need some clopofenil.
Just to deal with how great it is to be living in the greatest country on earth.
We lost Norm Macdonald, but he had a great joke about what school, how boring school was.
Uh-huh.
And it was something about how your kid keeps looking out the window too much at like there's a dog out there with a stick or something. And he says, if he keeps doing it, we'll drug you. We're gonna drug your son. It's such a funny way of putting it. We're just gonna drug them so that that doesn't happen anymore.
Oh boy.
Shall we do some correspondence?
Ring. Letters, emails, phone numbers, correspondence.
Yes, Santa baby, hurry down my chimney tonight and shove some correspondence up my Christmassy asshole.
yes, please. So let's. Scroll. Oh, we had an up update. It was on this. It was on the main podcast, not the Patreon, that we did. We'd read out the thing about Puss and Weiss, didn't we?
Oh, Puss and Weiss. Yes, remind me of the Puss and Weiss.
It was the girl who used to say Puss and Weiss, and then she taught her friend, and then her friend was in a coma. Ah,
yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Where is it? Oh, it's somewhere. Well, oh, if I can't find it, thank you for sending in like a recording.
A recording of the Puss and Weiss.
Yeah, of the way to say it. They sent in
a user's guide to Puss and Weiss.
Yeah, Puss and Weiss. Oh, bloody hell, I can't find it. Anyway, sorry, yes, we'd got it almost right. We got it almost right is the point.
Oh, well, great.
Not bad from us. Not bad to get it almost right. After
hey, if anyone's going to know how to say Puss and Weiss, it'll be us.
It better be us. Oh, wait. It better be us. Okay. You know what is always a shame, Phil? When we get an email from someone with an amazing name, and I don't want to say the whole name, but it's good. It's like a name of an action hero, you know?
God damn. Well, tell me afterwards, and we will only release the name to the top tier of Patreon subscribers.
Yeah. Yes, and in fact, if anyone...
That's going to be a new perk of the top tier of Patreon subscribers, is you can request the personal information of any Budpod listener that we have, and we will provide it.
We will provide it, and we will do more work into... We will catfish them into giving us their address.
Yeah. Yeah, top tier, you get... we will dox any Budpod for you.
we will say it's for free merchandise, and then we will dox them for you. although if you're listening and you're in the top two tiers, your monthly bonus correspondent special will be coming out on New Year's Eve. Enjoy.
Oh, lovely way to ring out 2021.
Mm-mm-mm. That's right. And one last chance to try and turn the year off and on again.
A friendly reminder that our Patreon is still available, and there's lots of great extra stuff in there, including an extra half hour each week with an extra sketch and premium correspondence. I'm not saying that working out more isn't important, but maybe your New Year's resolution should be to get on to the Budpod Patreon.
That's right. And you can listen to us in the gym when you try and desperately lose all the flesh that you've eaten, like we will be doing.
Christmas flesh.
Christmas flesh.
Must discard Christmas flesh. And please, if anyone asks you, if a personal trainer asks you, so what are your goals during your first session? We'd really love it if you said, I want to discard Christmas flesh.
Yes. And please send us their reaction. Or to just say, less flesh. I'd like less flesh, please.
I'd like to lose flesh.
I would like to lose flesh. Oh, and again, not to get too distracted, but I was making myself laugh on Christmas Day, Phil, by walking around and like raising my arms and doing the Viking voice and saying, "A god was born this day." or saying it like I could sense it, you know? A god was born this day.
A godchild was born this day.
I sense a godchild was born this day. So.
Come, a feast. Haven't...
More flesh. The godchild is here. we have an email from Guy.
Guy, who's that? Some guy. That's always what I imagine the parents of someone called Guy said when they were born. The father just pointed down at this newborn baby and said to the wife, "What? Who's that?" And the wife said, "I don't know, some guy." And the name stuck.
Some guy just came out of your wife. What? Who? I don't know. Some guy.
Whoa, sir! I don't mean to shock you, but some guy just came out of your wife. I guess we'll hold on to him.
We'll keep him here, just in case.
Until we find out who this guy is.
Well, until he's got enough of presence of mind to explain what he was doing up there in the first place.
Well, I think that'd be a very funny. It's on your son's eighth birthday. You sit him down and you say, "Right, it's been 8 years. We've fed you, clothed you, put a roof over your head. Now you have to tell me, what the hell were you doing in there?
What the fuck were you doing up there? Up where? Don't play games with me!
Who are you? And how did you get up there?
Who are you? My wife says she only met you that day too, and that cannot be possible.
Who sent you? Where are you from? Who are you? How did you get up there? I didn't see you go in there. My wife never saw anyone go in there. How did you get up there?
She must think I'm a fucking idiot. Or was it the anesthetic? We go to hospital because her stomach hurts. They give her anesthetic, and that's when you climb in. Because she can't feel it. Is this some kind of prank? Are you one of the Jackass crew? Is that what this is?
Don't play dumb now. I know you can speak English now. Okay, the whole Goo Goo Gaga act, that's over. I've heard you perform full sentences, so tell me, what the fuck were you doing up there?
He's got like a policeman standing behind him as well, like, sir, could you just explain?
God.
It's like Columbo. He goes, yeah, that's all fine. Just one more thing, though. Happy birthday, yeah? Oh, wait, before I forget, what were you doing up there?
Fucking it.
But you'll never guess what, Phil. Guy has predicted that you would say all that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. To the word.
To the word, because he's one of Bud Pod's writers. No, he's absolutely done you here. He's got your number. He says, "Hello, Pierre and Phil, my favorite Bud Pod pals."
Oh, that's nice.
I'd hope we had the favorites.
Yeah, that would be a tough competition to lose. I'd have to say
it'd be a devastating neg to find out his favorite Bud Pod pal is just a random other correspondent. He says, long-time squatter, first-time dropper here.
Very nice. I love it.
And here's the bit, Phil. Before Phil asks me if my parents were being lazy by naming me Guy...
Maybe I've said this before, but I stand by it.
He says, I can confirm they were. My mother told me they chose my name because it was short, easy to remember, and quick to shout. She also fancied Guy Pearce.
Nice. It is good to shout. Guy!
Guy!
Yeah.
Guy!
Guy! Because it's not short for anything, is it? It's not short for, like, Gulliver.
No, Guy Alberto. No, I don't think so.
No.
Guy!
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 What were you doing up there? quick to shout is a funny phrase.
It's good to eat and quick to shout. Guy!
Quick to shout. But enough about me and more about my poo, he says. Very good.
Okay. Here we go. That's what we came for.
Yes. I would like to share with you a fecal fable from my youth.
Okay. Fecal fable.
It was during the summer of 2010 where my story takes place, when I went camping with a group of friends in the rugged terrain of Essex. Very
lovely.
Nice.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. As I was in my mid-teens, this of course meant that my diet mainly consisted of processed meats, refined carbohydrates, and cheap cider.
Big Macs and Big Scrumpies.
That's right. Big Scrumpies, Big Dumpies, Phil. My naivete that this abuse of my colon wouldn't affect my bowel movements came to a head suddenly one morning as I was showering in the campsite facilities.
Oh, God. Yuck. Oh, and this is why I hate all outdoor activities. It's just the distance between you and a satisfactory toilet.
Yes, that's true. And a campsite shower can be quite a freaky thing.
No, thanks.
Cold, 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 cold. So he says, standing naked and soap-sudded was when the first warning signs emerged. Sharp stomach pains, deep rumblings. The countdown had begun. And I needed to leave the cubicle. Starting to panic, I made my first fatal mistake by bending down to pick up my shampoo bottle.
Deep rumblings, a brilliant trombonist.
Oh, man, deep rumblings.
Oh, man. The timbre of his, of those low notes. Yeah, that's when you knew you were listening to Deep Rumblings.
If you wanted to find out what club Deep Rumblings was playing in New Orleans, you just had to follow the vibrations, my friend. That's what they say. Little earthquakes. So he starts to panic, and he says, I made my first fatal mistake by bending down to pick up the shampoo bottle, Phil.
Oh! Never drop the soap! At a campsite shower, don't you know? Never drop this shampoo.
That's right, yes. And if you are camping, if you arrive at a campsite and you want to, you know, survive, you've got to walk up to the campest person there and beat them up.
You have to walk to the person with the most scout badges in the campsite and punch them in the face.
Yeah, punch them in the face with a big glove that you've made yourself and get a badge for it. So he bends down to pick up a shampoo bottle. The squashing of my midriff, coupled with a slight opening of my anus.
It really paints a picture.
Oh, the humility and warmth of saying slight as well is very funny. He wouldn't
it
want us to
gaping
think
it wasn't before anyone asks.
It when he bends over, opening. His anus, Phil, when he bends over, it doesn't yawn open. Like an animal's jaw, Phil. It's a slight opening.
Just a slight opening.
The squashing of my midriff, coupled with a slight opening of my anus, gave the turd missile all the encouragement it needed to vacate my body.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
No.
I wasn't looking backwards during the event, with it being so abrupt, but the mass must have got some serious hang time.
Oh, no.
As the pause between my cheeks flapping and water splashing was at least a couple of seconds.
Flapping? Why are his cheeks flapping?
Things have taken a turn, Phil. He wanted to make sure the anus opening was slight, but these cheeks are flapping now.
Is he the devil from Cow and Chicken? Why are his bum cheeks like flapping?
My first ever girlfriend had a massive phobia of the devil from Cow and Chicken and his shiny buttocks.
Oh, really?
She is absolutely disgusted by him for reasons that she could never quite articulate.
There was something certainly menacing about him, that's for sure. The whole cartoon was quite menacing, to be honest.
I think it was because the red devil from Cow and Chicken, his buttocks were very, very shiny and bulbous, but they had a couple of hairs on. That's quite unnerving.
Yeah.
Red, shiny bulbous with a couple of hairs is unnerving. And he would switch between an artificially high, sweet voice and full-on screaming.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the first person with the bipolar disorder we were exposed to as children.
Well, with his cycle being a second. Because he would just be like, oh, is that what you want? Well, you can't have it! And just like scream. The second half of every sentence, that definitely puts you on edge.
Yeah.
So he's saying that, like, he bends over and immediately just goes, and it's hanging out his bum for 2 seconds before it hits the water.
Yep.
Terrible. Luckily, he says, the turd landed squarely in the gutter, turning it into a cursed log flume. Got a little photograph at the end. Turning it into a cursed log flume, where it was washed along and presented itself serenely on the end grate.
Oh, yuck! Yeah. I was hoping it would just float away and go home.
Yeah.
Peacefully. But, of course, there's a bloody grate.
I was also fortunate I was in the last stall on the row, as I dread to think what family holidays I would have ruined if my shit ship had sailed underneath the adjoining cubicle and threw a child's life. I'm sorry my turd sailed through your life. It's really funny. Sailed through a child's life.
It's a similar image to a ships in the night. Yeah. Turds in the gutter. We pass each other, yes, like turds in the gutter.
He says, like a scat-themed generation game. The next booby prize on the doomed treadmill would have been the hot diarrhea that had provided the fuel for my rectal rocket.
No. Ugh, yuck. I check out when diarrhea gets involved. I'm like, nah. Nah. This isn't cartoonish anymore. This is a biological event now.
Yeah, it's a hazard. It was a funny log, and now it's a biohazard spray.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's also that's classic like bad diet food poisoning, where the thing that made him do a normal shit is that a load of horrible boiling evil shit was built up behind it like a fucking gun. Terrible. Like a cork. In the midst of the contractions, I was straight up not having a good time. Although I felt strangely calm, as I no longer dreaded the worst happening, because it had already occurred. That's fair.
Mm.
That's zen, mindful, yeah, shitting
there's
yourself.
There's a sense of freedom to watching your own shit flow like a log flume down the drain.
Yes. Yes, that's when you really know yourself. He says, at least I shat myself in quite possibly the most convenient place. After the episodes had abated, the cleanup operation began. The showerhead itself provided most of the means I needed to wash away the bodily brown sauce. However, it took a while, as the non-concussive tap needed to be continually pressed. Oh no!
Yeah, horrible. Oh god,
constantly
that's so funny.
Tapping it again. It. No, more water, please. Lastly, I was left with a specimen that had started this whole debacle. Still sitting proudly above the plug. No amount of water bending I attempted was able to move the mass. So I had no choice. It was time to get physical.
Earn that badge.
I opted to force my unwanted chocolate child down the drain with my heel.
Mm-hmm. I knew it was heading this way. Mm-hmm. I knew
and
it was.
He says, he adds, as only a deranged person would use their fists. Punching angrily at your own shit. That's a quite easy way to get sectioned. A few well-placed stamps in between a couple of dry heaves later, and the deed was done. Dry heaves.
Yeah. With military
take
precision.
This and that. no one would ever know what had passed, what had happened. I cleaned off the rest of my dirt and shame and solemnly returned to my tent. I haven't shared this story until now.
Ah, well, my child, you are repenting at last.
That's right. Yes. I think. Well, he says I haven't shared the story till now, due to embarrassment and not finding the right time to confide it in my family. Telling you two chums is a true weight of my chest, and I feel like my bum can finally be relaxed. But not too relaxed.
Not even slightly opened.
Only slightly open. Keep up the good work, all the best, and of course Koji, Guy. P.S. Please don't mention my surname that's in my email address, as I'm easy to find.
Ah, yes. Well, yeah. Yeah, if you have an action hero-esque name and the first name Guy, I imagine there probably aren't too many.
Yes, guy de action.
So it's a semi anonymous confession from Guy.
Yes,
he's getting there. He's getting slowly creeping towards full penance. It's just this will give him some succor.
Yeah, it's something. All. Whereas, like, there could be someone out there listening, thinking, "Well, I have got a friend called Guy." His anus is slightly open. Wait a minute. Texting their friends. Am I right? Is our friend Guy who, when he bends over, his anus opens, but only slightly? I thought so.
Yes, why?
Yes.
Yes, where are you going with this?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Great. Well, that is all we have time for, Podbuds.
However, we are opening our anuses slightly for you to come in and join us in the bonus pod.
Yes. You. If you bend down to pick up your shampoo, you'll notice. Wait a minute. Here in the shower cubicle at the campsite, some of the water doesn't seem to go down the drain. It seems to be flowing in between the tiles.
Oh, interesting. Where could it possibly be going?
And well, it's flowing in a perfect square, so you get your fingernails in there and you lift, and it's a ladder.
To see where this story goes, you'll have to subscribe to our Patreon, and we'll see you there.
See you there.
Merry Christmas! Or is
it? And a Happy New Year.
Question mark. Hope you all had a lovely Christmas time, as lovely as it could have been, and have a Happy New Year. See you in 2022.
See you in 2022. Bye bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.